Hello, wizards and warlocks and everything in between. It is me. It is I, your humble DM,
Danny. And I'm joined by my two lovely co-hosts, as always, if you guys would love to say hi.
Hello. I'm Jamzy, and I play Nanette Silkenthorn.
What? Who are you? Anyways, hello, I am Crow, and I play Edric and Mako.
Now, onto the last session of Cerulean Roll, it is I, Bringer of Shadow, Hater of Sprite Zero.
Oh, no,
on the last session of Cerulean Roll, our crew ventured further into the wilderness of the Ashen Seas. As night began to fall, Tirith suggested that someone else take over steering Autismo. May volunteered in an act of redemption, but the stubborn Autismo would not comply as he quickly dropped downwards to rest. Nanette quickly helped him get back on track before they continued their journey. Before the next day began, Adric felt warm memories of the past filling his mind and filled him with joy the next morning. Adric then took over steering for the rest of the day to let May rest. Nanette took to practicing the sharpshooter feat, which ended up being an embarrassing combat, seeing the advent of more wolf Nanette. But she pulled through with even more experience under her belt and a lot of exhaustion. Adric then saw a curious sight looming in the grasses of the Ashen Seas and let curiosity take over. After prodding around for a while, Tirith ended up being snatched by the carnivorous Death Bloom. And after a tiny bit of combat, May talked down the plant, calming it down before they continued back on the road. And as we pan back into the wagon, the moon of Shadowfell is still gleaming in the sky. There are partly, like, kind of ash-gray clouds that are wisping above in the sky. And the rain is, again, a little bit more soft than usual, very sparse. The winds are typically blowing in this field very somberly. And as you guys would know, you're approaching a cliff. The cliff that hugs the bend to go to the Onyx Kingdom. And so that sea breeze really is carrying. But on that sea breeze is also, as per usual, the putrid scent of death. And that's where we pick up. I'd say at this point, Adric, you've been steering all day. You are feeling pretty tuckered out.
He's feeling eepy.
You are indeed feeling eepy. You guys have been traveling for quite a while. After the plant, you guys have just continued onwards without much of a hitch.
You know, it really has been a very long few days. And he says this, like, pointed towards behind them at the rest of them, if any of them are still awake somehow.
You hear May go, yeah, it really has been.
What? May, aren't you supposed
now that
to
I think
be resting?
Huh?
Honestly,
what?
Yeah,
huh?
Now that I think
what?
About it. You're supposed to be resting.
Nuh-uh.
We talked. Do not nuh-uh me. Boy.
What? Boy. Now you sound like Callius.
Boy.
No!
Yes!
What is wrong with you? I don't sound... He's pretty cool, though. I think that would be awesome.
You would think it's awesome, huh?
What?
You
what
would think he's
mean?
Awesome. Yeah, you would.
What does that mean?
I think you need some rest. You're getting a bit of an attitude.
What attitude? I've never had an attitude.
She raises an eyebrow at him.
May looks so... You guys told him to sleep in the morning, and this whole ride he hasn't.
Now, if you don't go to sleep, I'm going to tell you to control the horse right now.
Well, I'd love to give him my best shot. I think I can handle him.
With the lack of sleep you have not slept at all.
I could take him.
No.
Come here. He may starts crawling to the front of the... I could do it. I could do it. I could handle him. I could handle him.
Nanette, grab him by the legs.
Okay. Oh, okay. I grab onto May.
Wait, Nanette, can you roll an athletics check?
Oh my god.
Okay. Wait, do I have disadvantage?
Yes, you do. You have 1 point.
Okay.
Oh
my god.
Actually, I think you still have 2 right now. So May rolled a 2.
Yeah, I do have 2.
That's crazy.
Nanette, you are putting up the amount of strength a tired person would, and May is putting up even less than that. He is like, he's getting really like uppity about this, but like you could tell his body has barely anything in him anymore.
May, come on, just get some rest.
I could steer the horse.
Why? Why do you want to?
I don't know.
See? Now it's time to just get some rest.
May looks at you like a cat who's just been shined with a flashlight.
God.
Okay.
Why do you sound so sad?
That horse.
Oh, what?
I want to show him who's boss. Let me at him! He starts crawling back up again.
No,
but Nanette, you actually could just force him to sit down if you really wanted to.
Just sit here. Just get some rest.
You push him down by the shoulders, and the second his he touches the cushion, he just knocks out.
Oh my god.
You need to... Oh. Okay.
He actually slumps forward and then falls onto the floor.
Oh, okay.
What was that?
He passed out.
Oh. I think that's good.
If you guys would like, I could take over again, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm feeling a little tuggered out.
All right. And just, again, a heads up. We should probably set up camp tomorrow night we can set up camp. It's not good to have, what was your horse's name again?
Oh, geez, no.
I'm not calling him that.
You can call him Tism.
Tism. Oh, yeah, okay. It's not good to push Tism like that. And also, not good to push ourselves like that. You both seem pretty tired, so it's better to get some rest.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Maybe I could practice some cooking.
Ooh, cooking.
I would love a good home-cooked meal.
And, Adric, you stop the cart. It comes to a halt. And Tirith climbs up to the front and takes the seat from you and the reins.
Okay.
And as it hits nightfall, both of you, roll me a wisdom saving throw as you guys are trying to sleep.
Uh-oh.
Noelle, I'm scared.
We got this. We
get jinxed, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Well, you got this.
Don't be so sure. Don't be so sure.
Don't be so sure.
Don't be so sure.
Nanette, as you begin to fall asleep.
Bye, Nanette.
A 5, by the way. Bye.
That is a 5. That is a 5, and Adric got an 18.
As you begin to get whisked away into sleep, as your body finally collapses from the rest it so desperately needs, you find yourself once again in Lavinella.
Oh.
You currently are surrounded by the rubble of that night, of the night Galeo lost his horn.
Oh no.
And you see crackling against the rocks as faces move past you, blurring in shadow, panics and screams. You see white electricity just funneling through.
What?
This electricity sparks along the rocks, dancing, licking. They are... It's like a constant pulse of this almost magical electricity. And you see as it begins to creep up to you.
Oh, God.
What do you do?
Can I, like, move out of the way?
Roll me a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. Oh boy. 13.
You turn, you begin to try to dodge, to run. You do, you evade. You're just as swift as you always are, as you were trained to be. You, the pride of the Silk Satyrs. Yet, even with your speed, even with your haste, this light jolts into you, stabbing through your back like knives, oh, ripping through. You see, as it pins you down, your eyes are forced to look upwards. Is it instinct? Is it nature? Is it curiosity? As you look upwards, feeling this weight on your hand, on your head, you see a blinding white, visceral beast. One with a horn that matches yours. One that extends outwards towards the sky. You see as this creature's entire body, its mane, where fur should be, electricity is trailing offwards violently. Where its paws meet your head, where its paws meet your back, where it's placing this weight on you, where it's digging its claws in deep. What do you feel in this situation as this beast hovers over you?
Can I try to struggle away from it?
Go ahead, roll me an athletics, an athletic check.
Okay.
And what was that?
A 7.
With a 7. You struggle, you pull, you try to rip yourself away from this. You feel under the force of this creature's mighty paws. Your clothes begin to rip before you could even pull yourself away. But more than your clothes, you feel as these claws tear deep into your back. You feel as blood begins to trickle from a wound in your head downwards over your face. Then you hear, destiny, capable you.
What?
Destiny, 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 capable you. Fear.
What? Where is the voice coming from?
It seems to emanate from deep within this beast's maw, irradiating from its throat, coming out of this blinding white abyss you see before you as its face. Run, 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 run. Then you hear this beast. You fear yourself. You fear what you're capable of. You fear what you might not be capable of. You turn your head and you run. Fate's gonna catch up. Be ready. Run faster next time. And then, Nanette, you wake up.
Is it still... What does it look like?
You... seem to have only passed out for but a couple hours.
Mm.
The moon is still hanging high. You see May and Adric are passed out. I'd say they're kind of leaning against each other while sleeping.
Mm.
And you feel a pain ripping through your back. As this pain aches and throbs, do you do anything?
I'm guessing healing spells aren't gonna do much for the pain.
They could. I'd let them.
I'll try.
Are you using like cure wounds on yourself?
Yes.
Nanette, as you go to touch at this pain, you feel as if electricity is kind of trailing off of you. You see, like as you touch where the wound would be, you feel a jolt run through your fingertips. And is there anything else you'd like to do? The pain does not subside. It lessens it, but it feels less like pain, more like it's just a jolt. It's just several jolts running through every nerve of your body.
Weird.
And then you notice something, Nanette.
Hmm?
You're not wearing your goggles, but you can see.
I can like dark vision?
You can see.
Oh! That's new!
And not only that, you notice that there's a glow in this cabin.
There's a glow?
A glow.
Coming from where?
The top of your head. Your horn is irradiating with this white energy. And as you'd recall, it's only ever done this one time.
Can I touch it?
You touch it? You feel the same jolt of electricity that was running through the panes on your back.
Can I recall back to what the beast in my dream looked like?
Go ahead. I'm going to make this a decently hard DC, since this was a dream, and it was almost like the landscape around you was familiar but distant.
Mm.
And even the beast, its face, its silhouette, was a blinding light in this blurry void. So, roll me a history check with disadvantage.
Okay. That was okay.
That's one. That's a 15. And
a 15 and a nat 20.
Okay. What you recall from your dream, even though everything was fuzzy, even though you felt this intense fear boil up inside of you, even though your first instinct was to run away from this thing, you remember as your eyes would trail on it as you were looking at it. And you saw it was this almost lanky beast. It looked reminiscent of a wolven figure. However, certain features couldn't be further from a wolf. Long, pointed ears that draped to the sky. A horn that pointed at you. Back legs that curved in the mannerism of a hare. But it had claws that were sharp like razors.
Why is this happening?
And with your history check, I will also give you a little bit more to help you correlate. The first time you ever struggled with magic was after that incident, that day.
Oh.
That familiar scenery.
Mm-hmm.
It jogs back the memory of you suddenly not being able to control your magic as well. Then, only recently, have you learned its name? And only recently have you begun to run so much further. But that is what you get.
I see.
Is there anything else you'd like to do?
Is my horn still, like, is it still glowing, like, consistently?
It is almost like this constant pulse of moonlight stored within your horn.
And I'm assuming Tirith is still steering the cart, right?
You hear the steady clops of Autismo's trots. You hear the wagon moving. But the cloth is in the way, so you can't see Tirith.
Oh. Can I move the cloth out of the way?
You pull it back, and you see the back of Tirith's head. And she is... Unless you're trying to be stealthy about it.
No.
Okay, yeah. She would definitely be alerted to the noise. She turns her head a little bit to see you, and she was like, oh, good night. You're good. Glowing.
Yes. I had a dream, and now this is happening. There's a lot of sensations happening, so I can't really seem to fall back asleep.
Would you like to sit up front and maybe talk about things?
Yeah, I think I would like that.
All right, come here. And she scoots over to the side and lets you come around and sit in front.
All right, I sit next to her.
Tirith continues to steer the cart after you stop. And Tirith goes, I'm guessing this might be a little bit one of those wild magic side effects, huh?
I guess so, but it feels like a little more than that, too. It's a lot to explain, but in my dream, I was being attacked by this giant, almost electric beast. And after I woke up, I started feeling these electric sensations throughout my body.
Well, that certainly does sound strange. I don't know anything about electric beast or dreams that can cause that to happen. Well, does it hurt?
Not really. It just feels strange.
I see. Well, maybe it's something to experiment with. Learn more about. I mean, it's probably happening for a reason.
I do think so. The dream seemed kind of prophetic, I guess.
In what way?
Well, I kept hearing these words being repeated. What was it? Capable? You? Destiny? Destiny capable you.
Well, that certainly sounds like a lot to swallow. Maybe this is something that you have to... And I don't mean to drag religion into everything. I know it's not everyone's cup of tea. But perhaps this is something maybe you should pray for an answer. Divine something.
You might be right.
Have you ever prayed before?
No, I don't think I have.
Well, then I have a piece of advice. And clearly, my God loves me. I don't know if what's happening to you is a god. I don't know if it's an angel, a celestial, anything of that matter. But the main thing when it comes to prayers is speaking your heart out to something.
speaking your word out to something. Even in the private and comfort of your own place. You speak.
I see.
If you want, I can pray with you.
That would be nice.
Here. And she puts down the reins for a second. She goes, Tism, please stop for now. And you see Autismo comes to a halt. And she holds her hands out for you to grab, Nanette.
I grab her hands.
She holds them and she goes, just focus, think, and direct those feelings to whatever you think it could be. Be it the dream, the thing inside of your dream, or even a god. Whoever, whichever god calls you so. May it be Fall. May it be Trelasa. May it be Moors. Just spill your words to them. And Tirith closes her eyes, and you see as this radiant water comes flowing like her magic looks like radiant water flowing from her palms into yours. And Nanette, what do you reach for?
I think with all this talk of destiny and things like that, I think I reach out for Yafal.
Okay, you reach out to Yafal. Here's what I'm going to do. What's your proficiency, or what's your bonus to religion?
Plus one.
Tirith is going to not only give you advantage, but share a proficiency with you and catch guidance. So she's doing a whole lot for you.
Oh, okay.
So you'll be able to add a +4 instead of a +1, and then roll an additional d4 to whatever you get.
Okay.
And you get advantage too. It's a whole thing. So if you would like to roll that, and
all right,
let me know what you get.
Okay.
That's a very poor roll.
Stay blessed.
Stay blessed. You get to use guidance. So you get to add that d4.
A whopping 10.
A whopping 13 with Tirith's other help. Nanette, you reach out to Yafal, but you know that the divine don't always answer.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of communication. And Tirith lets go of your hands and goes, did you hear anything? See anything? Feel anything?
No, I didn't.
Well, sometimes consistency matters. A lot of the time, consistency matters. Here's what I'll say. It's really late, and you look oh so sleep deprived. Make sure to get your rest, and you can keep trying in the morning.
All right. Thank you, Tirith.
No problem. If you have any questions about anything, I'm here for you, okay?
Okay.
For a price, and she pats your back.
All right. Wait, does she feel the... Does she feel the electricity, or is that just me?
She gets a small jolt. She goes, oh.
Oh.
It's... That's interesting.
Oh, yeah, that thing I was talking about.
Actually, can I move your hair?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
She moves your hair from the back of your nape, and she goes, have you been hiding any tattoos?
No. Well, I look down at my hand. Well, I'm not hiding anything.
Well, you seem to have these white sparks running down your back.
What?
They're like white cracks running down your back.
Oh. That's weird.
Maybe when we get to a private place, an inn perhaps, you should check that out in detail.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right. Well, you go get some rest, and hopefully things will be fine in the morning.
I hope so.
And, Nanette, you climb back into the wagon, and you tried to go back to sleep. I'm going to say it's pretty easy to fall asleep again. You're going to be fine. You're 2 points in with exhaustion.
Yeah.
So you can take a long rest, and where we pick up the next day. Adric, you wake up first.
The sleeper.
You wake up in the morning, and the red lights of Shadowfell are flowing in. The sunlight bleeds through the drapes, and nothing seems out of the ordinary.
Well, he was probably, like, leaning down, like, slouched over or something to the side.
Yeah.
And he just, like, very slowly gets up and, like, turns his face to look around.
You look around, and everything looks pretty normal. Everything is exactly how it is. How it was. You don't notice anything with Nanette either.
They both still asleep?
May is... I'm gonna roll something. Okay, lower the roll, more of a chance he's asleep. Higher the roll, he is probably awake. He's out.
He's out cold.
He's drooling.
Ah. My god. Well, at least he's getting some rest.
And, you see as, Tirith opens the blind and goes, ah, finally someone else is awake.
Ah, good morning.
Well, good morning to you. You aren't awake, but is Nanette glowing?
What?
Is Nanette glowing?
What do you mean, is Nanette glowing? No.
Oh. Maybe it was temporary.
What does that mean?
Well, last night, Nanette woke up and was glowing.
What?
Yes.
Glowing? That's...
Brightly, from the horn.
Huh. Is that a thing they can just do with something? I don't know.
You'd have to ask her. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, probably.
That's it definitely seemed a little unnatural. Bizarre. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then it's not glowing anymore, for sure.
That's good. Well, if you want, I still got a couple in me. A little bit of more energy in me. If you want to handle anything and then take over, I'm okay with that.
All right.
And Tirith keeps steering. And what do you do, Adric?
Book.
Book.
Magic.
Are you reading the magic tome?
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh, tome.
Tome.
Yes.
I love books.
You open this grimoire. And you begin to study. Adric, as soon as you open this, roll me a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, Lord.
Or
okay.
Never mind. Roll me an intelligence saving throw.
Okay, dokay. Isn't that just a wonderful roll? I love it.
Immediately as you open this tome, you feel as if you see something. And
what?
For a second, the world is fine. You just opened a book. Nothing out of the ordinary at all.
Mm-hmm.
But you blink, and everything's black.
Huh.
The lights get shut out.
Excuse me. What?
It's as if the universe turned off for a second. And
what the hell?
You find yourself in a very similar void to your crest, the inside of your crest.
Okay, well, this is a little familiar, but not exactly in this way.
It's actually almost the same exact thing.
Huh.
It's like when you used to be here most of the time. Shallow, black, inky waters that are flowing beneath your feet. You see an endless void with a mist layering the top of it. And then you see in the distance a tall figure walking closer to you.
What? He's like squinting his eyes.
You squint your eyes. Roll me a perception check.
Isn't that wonderful?
You squint your eyes and you don't get a whole lot of details from this person yet. But you see as they're trudging towards you.
Who?
And he gets closer and closer and closer. Then you hear a voice come from that direction, from that figure, presumably.
You found that old thing, did you now?
What?
You boy. You found that thing, didn't you? My own scriptures.
I guess the last thing I was reading was that grimoire, if that's what you mean.
Yes, that grimoire. Here, it must be dark. Allow me to help.
You see, he holds his hand out. These lanky hands almost appear from the darkness in front of you. And you see, as he opens his palms slowly, then magic begins to pulse from his fingertips. Then almost like strings dancing about, a moon is formed from these tightly knitted knots of arcana. And that moon dances radiant energy all over you.
What?
Allowing you to see this figure. And the person you see looks very... how should I say? They are skinny. You see, they are more masculine. They have a long face with an arched nose that angles downwards ever so slightly. You see a sharp chin with these almost thicker lips, but one of them, the top lip, is shaded with black. You see gemstones line the undersides of his chins below his eyelids. Or not his chin, his cheeks. And you see these sullen, dark eyes that peer at you. And they gleam with a gentle glow of the moonlight that he's holding. White hair trickles down his back. It looks wavy, wispy, almost ethereal. And these bangs come out from the front and trail downwards from his nose all the way to his torso. He is shrouded in black robes that are held together with beads. Several beads, all having these runic scriptures run over them. Tied to his right hand is a staff that he's holding so tightly. And the hand that is casting the moon has a grimoire that is also chained to it. The book is the same size as yours, but while it's chained to his hand, it looks like a pamphlet. That's how big he is.
Oh my god.
And he goes,
"Have you been enjoying it well? That knowledge?"
Yeah, it's been very wonderful reading.
That is wonderful. I am glad that even in my death, people enjoy my works, my study. How peculiar that one of them would end up in Shadowfell of all places.
Do you know that place?
Where you acquired this book? I know of Shadowfell, of course, but I never knew of that quaint library.
It's very nice. There's lots of good books in there.
That's wonderful.
And he sits down in the waters next to you. And while he's sitting, he is still taller than you.
Oh my god. Massive.
Massive, massive man.
Well, boy. That's endearing that you love to learn so much. I see that you hold magics of different caliber within you. But I can tell that traces of you, they are bound in someone else's body. You have arcana in you that does not belong to you.
Yeah, I'm still working on getting him back.
I was not referring to that. I was referring to what keeps you in that body. I can feel it. I know it's there.
Yeah.
Worry not. Fret not, child. I need not your trinket. But that trinket will need to be handed over to someone.
Right.
One cannot bear it.
has to be returned someday.
And you know what happens if you return it, right?
I lose this form.
You lose whatever connections you have to a mortal body. You effectively stop existing. But that look in your eyes, you remind me of when I was a wee boy. Do you know how you're talking to me right now?
I would assume, since I've been here before, that it's because of the trinket.
No, 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 boy. Much more complicated.
Much more complicated?
When I died, I spread my soul through the ether between the weave of Arcana. I attached my soul in fragments to these grimoires.
And he holds the giant grimoire up to you that's attached to his hand.
I am bound to these books in my death.
So that's because of this grimoire?
That is where my soul dust lay.
That's interesting. Is there a reason you did so?
Merely for curiosity, I guess one would say.
And he looks upwards at the moon that he made.
I never, in all of my years of living, ever wanted to stop learning. Not once. Putting my soul in those books allow me to meet people like you. And even though part of me has already entered into reincarnation, I am stubborn. I am fickle. I want to learn. And it appears I can help you learn more than you want.
Yeah. I think learning more would be very good.
And I can teach you how to do what I have, but in a different way.
In a different way?
He holds out a finger to you.
I can bind your soul to your vessel, but I personally cannot do it. I can show you how to prolong your existence within someone through sheer intelligence, through sheer arcane magics, through manipulating the strings of magic between thy fingers.
I think that would be interesting, but how so? Because I'm sure that must not be an easy task.
I never said it was. But in due time, you will keep picking up this book over and over again. And once you have achieved mastery of it, I am sure I can do one last favor for you, but you must promise me something
What is it?
Bring me more knowledge. As much knowledge as you can find. I do love to learn.
Something as knowledgeable as you. Huh.
No, no, no. It does not need to be something to learn that you would equate to being smart. I guess what I'm really asking for is if you would share your experiences with me.
Oh. I suppose that would be fair. I think I've had... I am going through a lot of experiences even now.
And I shall help you learn. And you shall help me learn.
All right. I think that's pretty good.
He holds out a hand to you.
He hesitantly raises his hand, but surely ends up taking his hand.
You shake his hand, and he goes, "The name is Malekith."
Yeah, it's nice meeting you, Malekith. I am Adric.
Likewise, Adric. I wish to see your pursuit of knowledge grow so endearingly.
And as he says that, you see as you blink back, and you are still holding the cover of the book open only.
Huh. I think he starts blinking and then looking around again.
And you look around, and now, if you would like to actually read the book, you very much can.
Okay,
Well, I might as well keep reading.
All right. Roll me an intelligence check.
No! Stop it.
Okay, that is 7. You are going to fail the first check. All right, roll me one more. As you flip through the book, as you read the first page, you kind of are only thinking about how
the experience
you
just had.
Yeah. You're kind of like frog blinking at first. You're like, huh. And the second page you read, as you re-go over what you just had glanced over, you begin to understand. And you are... What's your feelings towards what Malekith had said to you?
I think his feelings... He's still kind of a little confused, but he's also, like, kind of, like, how do I say it? Very curious and, like, very interested in, like, what just happened.
As your curiosity spurs you into vigor and studying, you succeed this next page and you begin to understand a little bit more about the arcane magics. And roll me another one.
I think he was especially, like, excited over the moon, because he's like, how did he do that? No!
You get distracted for a moment thinking upon
the moon. Yeah, he got distracted by that.
Yeah, you think of what level of mage do you have to be to create an entire replica of the moon within your hands. And that thought distracts you so endlessly. And you kind of gloss over it and then go. You turn back to read that? More.
How did he do? Oh, I'm supposed to be reading.
You also think to yourself that maybe if you keep reading that you'll be able to make a moon one day.
Oh my god.
What if I can do that? What if I can do that eventually? That would be so cool. Like, May does that cool moon thing, and what if I can do a cool moon also? That would be pretty sick.
And as that thought crosses your mind, roll me another one. I want to give you advantage so badly on this. By the way, you have inspiration, so if you want the advantage, oh, you can right, give yourself right. it. That is another success, though. You
Yay.
For sure succeed on this one. If you succeed the next one, you succeed in this training day.
Yay!
As the thought of using a moon-based move with May, who also uses a moon-based move, fills your head, you get so excited, and you actually nail the next page. You read the paragraph so in depth, only deepening your understanding of Arcana, but only slightly. This is gonna take time.
Yeah.
And you can roll me the last check. If you succeed, you don't get exhaustion.
Okay. Come on. I still want to save my inspiration, but I also know.
Yeah. The roll's betraying me.
Yeah. So this is going to give you 1 point of exhaustion. And you feel that haziness in your head again as you begin to feel tired, unless you're using that inspiration.
I still want to save it, because what if there's something more that needs it?
That's so, you're fair. You're fair for that. I know it is not in my interest as a DM to say this, but
mm-hmm.
I will be handing it out more. I'm trying. So, if that changes anything. Otherwise, roll another.
Okay. Do not!
That is yet another failure. You are now, like, thinking about all the cool things that you could possibly do with a mage's power. And then
probably
you think...
rambling to himself. Like, he's, like, trying to read. Like, his eyes are on the page. But his internal eyes, his brain is, like, elsewhere right now.
Yeah, you are fully, like, looking at the page, but you're not registering the page.
He's doing the thing where you read and then you have to go back to the beginning and read again just to get it.
Exactly. Would you like to roll one more? You have two more rolls before you get a second voice of exhaustion.
You know what? I'm just gonna use the inspiration.
Okay. You could use the inspiration.
Okay. Blink. Please.
Yippee!
You succeed. You definitely succeed. And with that pass, you feel as you begin to grow even more knowledgeable, but excited for the future of this. And Adric, with that role and with the amount of enthusiasm you're looking at this book with, you get an image in your head of what you can maybe do with this. You remember all these streams of arcane uses you've seen throughout your life. You've seen performers that weave music between their words. You've seen people that can use magic in the most, common of ways, which is the study of it. You've seen people who are born with it. You've seen people who harness it. But one of the ways that you've personally liked to use magic, and that you haven't seen very much, is people who weave it in the midst of a duel up close.
What?
You see yourself using a flurry of blows, then switching to using magic in the midst of a combat.
What? Oh my god.
And with that hovering over your mind, you close the book and you feel as the exhaustion runs its course.
Okay, that used a lot of brain power.
And I'd say at that point, Nanette, you would wake up. Like, Adric maybe closes the book a little too hard and you jump up.
He was so excited, he just did it without thinking.
Good morning, Adric.
Oh, whoopsies. Oh, sorry, good morning, Nenev.
It's alright.
How are you, feeling?
I'm feeling, Wait, can I, like, touch my back really quick?
Yeah, you touch your back. Go ahead.
Okay.
Do you touch anything? I don't know why I was, like, waiting for you to tell me a roll. That was so stupid. you touch your back. Roll to reach your back. See if you're flexible. you feel your back and you don't feel any sparks right now.
No. Well, I feel fine.
Oh, good. That reminds me, when I woke up, Tirith asked if you were glowing?
I woke up in the middle of the night and, I had a dream and then I woke up and then my horn was glowing and then I was having these weird electric sensations.
What?
Yeah, I got attacked by this beast, and it seems like the effect left a mark on me, at least in the moment they did. I don't feel it anymore, though.
Oh. I mean, I think the electric sounds quite annoying when you're trying to sleep, but that's a little bizarre. I wonder why that just happened after that dream.
I don't know. Maybe it was a surge of magic or something. I'm not entirely sure.
I suppose so. I suppose we, at the same time, we won't really know unless we somehow find someone that knows what's that.
Right. It's,
Oh, maybe there's a bug for it. You think we could look for a bug?
For dream?
I don't know how exactly we could look for something that would talk about
it's
that,
a
but
very specific situation.
Right.
I mean, during that sentiment, you kind of do think about finding a book about wild magic.
Oh, right.
Since it is a surge.
Maybe if I could read up on wild magic.
Yeah. I don't know what that is, but I think if you think that's good, then I think we should look for that the next time we go somewhere. Or when we reach that place. Hopefully there's a library.
Yeah, I think so. It's a lot to think about.
Yeah. Well, at least you're okay now.
Yeah, that's good.
And to paint a picture, because I've been imagining this, the entire time you guys have been talking, May has been slumped over and going,
and he's obviously, as you can see, very knocked out.
Very.
Wait, hold on. Absolutely I don't really out. Need this right now. At least not right now, but he's gonna take off his little cape and put it on May.
Aww.
You put your cape on May, and May immediately, like, nuzzles into it.
Aww.
He's just a little guy.
He's just a little tall guy.
He's just a little
very
tall
guy.
Actually, Adric, once you put this robe on May, it changes shape.
What?
And you see that the feathers of it become pink, with spots of yellow. And it covers over his body.
Oh, that's so cute.
And it grows in length to match him.
Oh, that's what? So interesting.
It can do that?
Huh.
Okay, when if he you wakes up, try he doesn't it out, need you it totally anymore, can. I want you yeah. to put it on.
Okay.
May looks like an owl right now.
Aww.
Aww. That's so cute. We love it.
It is. I'd say at this point, May does wake up. He's been sleeping pretty for a long time. And he goes,
Good morning.
Good morning.
He hey, look at how down. It looks on you. It changed.
Drip.
What?
Drip.
What's drip?
He holds up the coat. Drip.
What does that mean?
It's what the kids say when you're looking spectacular.
Oh. Yeah, drip.
And oh my, I'm dripped out. He holds out his necklace. He like holds it forwards with his thumb and does a little shimmy.
Oh my god. Bro. But yeah, that's interesting. It we just saw as it changed shape and color.
Oh. Wait. Oh. Do you yeah. want to try it on? Well, Nanette?
Yeah, Nanette, I want to see how it looks on you.
Okay.
May hands you the coat. And
I put it on?
Nanette, what do you want it to look like?
Oh.
If not, ooh. I have an idea.
Ooh.
Yeah, what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
I was thinking that the feathers, you know, they go to that pale blue of your dress, your old dress, and you get these like white feathers in between. But the strange thing that immediately happens is pink crystals begin to jut out of the blue feathers.
Oh.
Looking like almost like little antlers, like deer antlers.
Whoa.
Oh.
And the whole coat is kind of sparkling with that baby blue. It's like it becomes really sparkly.
Oh, whoa.
Pretty color. Pretty glow.
And by the way, when you put it on, you get the sensation that you can fly.
Oh, I feel so aerodynamic.
What now?
Arrow, huh?
Like I can fly.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, I could. I use that to fly since he doesn't have wings.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Do you want it back now?
Oh yeah, sure. Since he's already awake.
Yeah.
I also do want to say
quite cool on you guys.
That, Nanette, in light of you being able to see, you haven't, like, everything seems brighter now.
Huh.
Like, consistently.
Oh, right, that's another thing.
Huh.
I forgot to mention it, but suddenly it seems like I can see in the dark.
What?
I don't know how that happened. I don't even need my goggles. You know what? In fact, Adric, you can have them now. I guess I don't need them anymore.
Oh, cool. I would need those.
Nanette, you hand over the goggles. Adric, you can add goggles of night to your inventory. Do you put them on?
Yeah.
As soon as you put them on, they begin to look like a masquerade mask of a bird.
What? It's
tightly fitted to your face.
Ooh.
And
oh, this is...
they have these ruby red accents towards the undersides of the eyes. And Adric, you get the sense that something will happen if you tap your temples with them on.
What?
Do you do that?
Yeah.
You tap your temples, and you see as this ruby, this, like, bird masquerade mask, it perfectly conforms to your beak. It looks like you're wearing a really sick mask. You touch your temples, it splits down the middle, it retracts upwards, and it looks like you have horns.
What?
Oh, that's so cool.
It can do that? How did it do that?
You've seen Nanette do similar things with it.
Oh, wait. Oh, maybe it's just like my cape, but it just adjusts to either of us. May, can you put these on?
May goes, oh, okay. He puts it on, and you see as these little, I had the urge to say, like, a little owl goggle appears on him.
That's but so cute.
I think what you see when May puts it on is these spores and vines and thorns begin to wrap around his head, and it kind of looks like he shouldn't be able to see out of it. But you see as these bioluminescent mushrooms take the, and they're like, they're almost like transparent jellyfishes that go over his eyes, looking like these big old goggles. And using those spores, he can see.
Oh, they're so pretty.
That is so cool.
I don't really need these, but that's cool.
Yeah, it's fun. I was really curious on how they would look.
Well, here you go. And May hands them back to you.
Cool. Thanks.
And as you guys are exchanging jewelry, who wants to drive the wagon next?
Well, since he already told Tirith, I think he'll do it this time.
Okay, I will let you know you're exhausted. You're going to have disadvantage on animal.
All right. Checks. Whoopsies.
I'm just letting you know ahead of time.
Good point.
So do you still want to do it, or do you just want to let May or Nanette do it?
Another episode of May being bullied. Possibly.
May bullied two Electric Boogaloo.
Oh my god.
May, actually, May would totally jump up and go, I got it! Hey, Tirith, I can give you a break!
Oh, okay. Oh, good luck.
Tirith goes, oh, alright, kid. I'm wishing you luck? Question mark?
Yeah.
She, like, squints as she says that, and she, like, pats his back, and she's like, go get him, Tiger. And, you see... Please. As there's like, as Tirith taps May, it's like this water spreads from Tirith's hand over to May's back, and he feels emboldened. She gave him guidance.
Oh my god.
And he's gonna roll.
Come on. Come on, May. Please. That's crazy.
Oh my god.
That's crazy.
That I was praying crazy. On his downfall, I'm not gonna lie, but,
why would you do that?
It's so funny. Okay,
not
okay.
Not praying on his downfall.
Okay, he got his downfall. That's crazy.
Oh, that's a one. He still fails.
Oh my
he
god. Fails.
Bare minimum DC. It was DC 10.
Oh my god.
And May rolled an 8 with guidance. May sits next to Antismo and goes, Okay, I won't sing. You got this. I believe in you. And Autismo just like lays down.
That's great.
You.
Andrew from inside just turning to look at them.
I think he's struggling.
I think he may in fact be struggling.
May has an absurd idea, and he's going to do it. He grabs the wand of fireworks out of his robe.
What?
What is he doing?
He goes,
Listen, Autismo, I'll show you beauty and grace if you just move. He's bartering with his entire life. And May stands in front of Autismo. Are you ready to see a miracle, Autismo? Do you want to see what I'm capable of?
What's
I'll
she doing?
Show you what I'm capable of.
Nanette?
Yes?
He breaks the wand.
Bro.
He tried to use his wand and it's broken.
No,
it's
he odd. Snaps it in half on purpose, and you see as an explosion of light apparates from him. No.
He broke it.
What?
And then from the light, you see as May summoned a beast.
What is that?
What is that?
If you don't want to move, I got something that will.
What?
May, I think you need to calm down.
He's fucking...
What is he doing?
He's losing it!
He summoned a beast?
You see a fungal monster in the shape of, like... It almost looks like a lion made out of plants that's wrapped around tightly. And you see, like... Its eyes are made out of those spores that are glowing. Its ears are formed out of these blossoms that bloom. And it, like, lets out a snarl.
Yes. Don't make you move!
Yes.
I think he snapped just like the...
I think so, too. I think this isn't the first time.
This is not the first time.
You see May is freaking out while waving around
this
his broken wand.
This is what the Ashen Seas does to a man.
Now move, horse! Move! You will move!
Is Autismo even, like, showing any sign of moving?
Hold up, I roll something. This is definitely an act of intimidation, which he's so not good at.
Oh my god.
Praying on his downfall again. Oh my god, it worked.
Oh my god. And it's the same number, isn't it?
It is the same number.
It really is. You see, as Autismo turns around, and May, holding a broken wand of fireworks, and looking at a beast that he made out of vines and thorns. And he goes,
"Welp, I'm dead now."
May.
May walks up to the wagon and goes, "I'm dead now."
What?
"I hate horses."
He grabs your shoulders, Nanette.
"I hate horses so much."
He turns around. He grabs your shoulder, Adric.
"I really want to swear about how much I hate horses. That is not a horse. That is a devil." "That is a devil."
"May, I'm gonna need you to calm down, buddy."
"I'm gas now."
May turns into gas.
What?
Oh, what?
How did he do that?
Why are you gas? What?
What?
You see, as genuinely May turns into gas, he turns into basically air and spores.
What?
How did he do that?
"I can't handle this horse anymore, I'm flying."
He starts flying upwards.
"May, come back down here."
He comes back down. He sits down, but he falls through the chair because he's made out of gas.
Yeah, telling the gas man to sit.
Get out of the gas form, you don't need it.
"The way I hate horses is unlike any other thing."
"It's okay, I think that horse just has a specific attitude towards you.
I don't know. They're my new grudge animals.
Let me go and try to talk to him or like convince him and see, look, I'm already exhausted. He's probably not gonna listen to me.
Adric, you go out. Nanette, you immediately hear as May puts his... like, he ungasses himself. Then he puts his hands in his head and he goes,
it's just like the Squirrelios again.
The what? It's
the what?
Squirrelios.
Squirrelios?
Yes.
What is that?
What do you mean by this?
My other worst enemy.
Oh.
Along with ringtails and loam eaters and...
What?
And May just keeps going about animals that you've never heard about.
I think your specialty lies with plants. Your specialty lies with plants, and that's okay. That's okay.
He boo-womps at you.
Why am I so... a druid that sucks at plants or sucks at animals? Ah!
Is he okay?
He's just letting his feelings out.
Maester's punching the air.
Oh, okay.
Adric, you can roll me a perception check, and after we settle that, that's going to be the end of the session.
It's okay. You have other people that can handle animals.
Not a perception. An animal handling check with disadvantage.
Yeah. I was about to be like, huh?
Wait, Nanette.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I said it's okay. There are other people who can handle animals.
I want to handle animals. I want to be... Yeah.
May, it's okay. Come here.
May sobs into your chest.
Okay, it's okay.
Adric, you ask Autismo really nicely if he could keep moving, and Autismo just gets up again.
Yes, you've got to be kidding me.
He looks at you really self-assured.
Autismo.
He nods.
Spiteful horse.
Buddy, you really need to be nicer to that boy.
He shakes his head.
Bro, why not? What is your problem?
He you've never seen a horse squint. You see this horse squint.
How did you do that?
He squints more. He basically blinks at you.
What? Are you really a horse?
He shakes his head!
What?
He shakes his head at you.
Autismo lore.
What? What do you mean?
If a horse could lift their feet to whisper, like to shush someone, he would. He so would right now.
What?
But
I could be mortified.
Adric, you get Autismo to
start. Adric would be scared of
again.
Horses if he I'm like, what?
Adric, you get Autismo to start moving again. And Mabel grudgingly goes out to the front, stays completely silent, and holds the reins.
Oh my god.
And that's where we will end today's session.
I was really gonna say before I did that roll, I'm gonna be like, watch me actually get Tizmo to like listen to me. And he fucking did.
He did! He really did!
With disadvantage.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the end of the episode. Thank you for giving it a listen, and I really appreciate you sticking it out, even though my mic for some reason sounds like there's wind in it. I fixed it now, and I fixed it in future episodes. But thank you for putting up with that, and I appreciate you all, and I'll see you on the next episode of Cerulean Roll.